Turn your Bible to Psalm 122. Psalm 122. Psalm 122. Find verse number 1. And I'm going to ask, out of reverence for the Word of God, that we all stand together. Psalm 122. I'm going to read out loud. You can follow along silently as I read these verses. Psalm 122, verse number 1. The Bible says this: I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. I love that verse number 1. I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go unto the house of the Lord. Father, bless us now, please. Lord, somehow I need your intervention. I ask, Father, that the interruptions would not hinder you. Help no one to show disrespect during the sermon. I ask, Father, that you would give me the attention of the people. And you get involved and do what only you can do. Please, bless us now with thy presence, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can have a seat. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said unto me, Let us go into the house of the Lord. David is expressing his thrill about going to church. He was happy about it. He was excited about it. He had joy about it. It was a thrill to him. His heart was merry, if you will. My mom used to say that tickles me. David was tickled about going to church. It was fun. It was pleasant. He was not avoiding it. The Gallup poll, which is a secular poll, it said, as I was doing some studying, faithful church attendance 20 years ago was considered to be someone that attended 3 services a week. That's basically Sunday morning, Sunday night, and a midweek Bible study or prayer meeting. In 2000, year 2000 here in America, they said 73% of Americans consider themselves good church members. 73%. Get this. That dropped to 64% in 2018. They say that 42% of millennials don't even... 42% of millennials go to church. In other words, there's that other 58% that don't even go to church. Gallup International actually said in another poll that they thought as few as 37% of what we call the millennial group attend church today. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, I will go into the house of the Lord. Hey, he didn't say I was sad. He said I was glad. He didn't say I was mad about it. He said I was glad. He did not say, I was trying to get out of it. He said, I was trying to get into it. In today's culture, the church has become an activity. Instead of a mandatory expectation that was placed upon people that said they love God by God. People come to church today if it's convenient. Today, we work church in if we can. The Bible teaches that church is to be primary in our lives because God is to be primary in our lives, and then we work the other things in around church. Let me ask you a question. Are you a part of the movement away from the local New Testament church and church attendance? My sermon will not be as dynamic as what I wish, but if you'll listen to me, I'm going to make some observations as to why people don't go to church like they should anymore. First of all, guilt is no longer a feeling that bothers them. Ephesians 4:19 says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. Here the Bible says that somebody can get past feeling. What happens? They get calloused. People don't want to feel guilty anymore. They don't want a feeling that it makes them feel bad about themselves. I just need to tell y'all, we're all sinners. And we don't do what God told us to do. We're to feel guilty. Now, there are churches everywhere that won't say that, so there'll be somebody that just heard me say that that won't come back because I'll say it again in the near future. But the truth of the matter is, when we don't do right, we're to feel guilty. But one of the reasons why I don't think people come to church in 2019 like they would have had 100 years ago is we just don't feel guilty about it anymore. This sermon won't faze many. There'll be people in here, you'll tolerate me for the next 2 hours as I preach this sermon. You'll tolerate it, but you're numb to the truth. You're spiritually calloused, even proud. You're so set in your backslidden way about church attendance, you have no desire to change and no plan to change. You won't let anything make you feel guilty about your unfaithful church attendance. That's your plan. So my first point is, guilt is no longer a feeling that bothers us. How about you? Secondly, today, this generation, this era, people feel church is no longer necessary. They just feel like it's no longer necessary. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Notice it's talking about in the house of God or at church. Notice it in referring to church, it said it was foundational. It was, well, that's what a pillar is. Something that is a pillar is foundational. You see, people today get this idea the church is no longer necessary. We're proud, but we don't consider it pride. We've become a self-help generation. We're going to Google our problems. The ability to use Google and the ability to have Wikipedia has, some in some people's thinking, phased out the need for church in your lives. You don't need church. You don't need God. You don't need the Bible. You don't need preaching. If you've got an issue, you'll Google the answer. You see, we don't think church is necessary. Somehow we think church, that's something for years gone by. That's been phased out. I'm very sorry. It has not been phased out. The church is as important today as it always has been. And I don't care what, and hey, I'm for modern technology. I think it's a wonderful thing, but I'll guarantee you something. There's no modern technology in the universe that will ever take the place of what God said and what God did and what God expects. And the church is still important. You see, guilt no longer is something that affects us, and somehow we get this idea that we no longer need the church. The church is no longer foundational. What it is we think the church is now supplemental. And I'm sorry, the church is primary. It's primary. Oh, number three. I think people don't come to church much anymore because people don't love today like they used to love. People don't love like they used to love. They love less today. Mark chapter 12, verse 33 says, "And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." You see, today, love for good things is weaker and unimportant than ever. For instance, I think we have a mess in our marriages today. Why? There's less love. I think husbands love their wives less. I think wives love their husbands less. Of course, you pull away from the Bible and you pull away from a church that teaches you what real love is. So you all know. What Hollywood calls love, that's not love. What God calls love, that's love. And you take the influence of the Bible and you take the influence of the New Testament church out of our society, love suffers. It has to suffer. People don't love their kids like they used to love their kids. You know what's sad? People don't love their country like they used to love their country. You look at America. Where's our love for country? It is almost non-existent among many people. And may I say, if in this day and age we seem to love our wives less or love our husbands less and love the family less, love our kids less and love the country less, I'm going to guess we love church less, love God less. You know this? People used to love their church. Today, they just like it. Matter of fact, some don't even like their church. They just tolerate it because they feel some obligation because they got some family left there and they got to do something. And so today, people love less. I wonder if God could really tell us how much you love church, we'd know. People try to do everything they can to not go. That doesn't prove love. That's not a reflection of love. So we don't suffer guilt anymore. We don't need church anymore. It's kind of unnecessary. It's a thing of the past. We love less than ever. I would tell you this also. We live in a generation where people are very soft. Very soft. They're not strong. They're anemic in most of what they are. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 13 says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." Yeah, there's not a lot of strength out there anymore. We're soft. You say, how? I think people don't show up to church today because we are just so soft. So we're soft regarding opposition. The slightest difficulty comes up on a Sunday morning and they stay home from church. It always has been a problem that if it rains, there are some people that will stay home, but the problem is bigger than ever. People look outside and say, "It's raining. We can't go to church." "Well, what do you want to do?" "Well, let's go to the beach." You're brilliant. We're soft. Do you know that people can predict on Friday whether they can come to church on Sunday? Happens all the time. Weak Christians prophesy their inability to go to church. And you know what? Their prophecies always come true. We're soft. We're soft regarding our weariness. They get tired and decide rest is more important than being in church. Now, if you needed rest because you were going to kill yourself driving, I think you need to stay home and rest. But that's not usually the case. I wonder if Jesus was weary when he was paying the price for our sins. It's a good thing he didn't stay home that day because he was a little tired. We're soft. I look out and see some of the gray hairs. The past generation is what made this country great. The past generation are the ones that built the great churches. The past generation is one reason why this was called one nation under God. But they're taking that off our dollar bill sometime soon. Why? We have become anemic and weak and cowardly. We're weak. We're soft. We're soft regarding sickness. A family can have one child sick, and the whole family of 15 will stay home to wipe that kid's runny nose. Let me tell you something. My mom did not allow me to milk it. If I couldn't go to school on Monday, I couldn't go out and ride my bike after school was over with for everybody else on Monday. And Mama never let a Monday illness turn into 10 weeks of absenteeism at home. She said, "The minute you're well, you're going back to school." That is not the generation in which we live. A person can justifiably, what I mean is properly, miss one church service because they now, because they're not well, now they have an excuse to be gone over and over and over again. Can I tell you something? Some discomforts, you'll have them at home, you'll have them at church. Not going to change it. You say, "You're mean." I'm just telling the truth. We're soft regarding preaching. People today are quite easily offended. See, today, truth is way too true for people. You know what they want? They want good music, which we like. We love good music. They want good music. They want me to tell funny stories. They want Mrs. Owens and I have bright, cheerful countenances. We all want to feel good about ourselves and sing Kumbaya. But you let somebody get up and tell the truth about what's really wrong, and we're offended with that. You say, "Well, I just won't come back." You can find plenty of churches that won't tell you the truth. Why? Why do people not come to church in 2019? Well, they don't feel guilty about it. They don't think church is really as necessary. Church is just supplemental. I've got it together, and if I need God in the church, I'll let them in on it. We love less, so we love our church less. We're soft. We just let things stop us. Number five, today people have turned work... People today worship time off of work. They worship it. Exodus 34:14 says, "For thou shalt worship no other god. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God." People will put time off work before God. When I was growing up, there used to be a beer called Michelob. Anybody ever heard of Michelob? Now, some of you old enough to hear it, I imagine it's still out there. Is it, Mike? You were just sitting there. You were prime. But when I was a kid, they had a commercial for Michelob, and they advertised weekends were made for Michelob. What'd that mean? Weekend, time to party. Let me tell you something. On the weekend is a day called Sunday. Amen. Sundays were not made for Michelob. Sundays were made for God. They were made for God. And people have phased that out of their thinking. They don't think that's so anymore. But we almost worship time off work. Sunday is their day, and not even God is going to get it. I've got to get up in the morning. I've got to put on my church clothes. I've got to find my Bible. In many cases, it's missing. I got to find that thing. I got to drive all the way down to the church. I got to put up with that loudmouth, old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist preacher that makes people feel uncomfortable about their sin. I got to go in and smile when I don't really want to be there. I've got to go in and shake hands with everybody and act like I love it. You're inconvenienced. Sorry. Sorry God inconvenienced you. They worship their days off. Let me tell you something. In the Christian life, casual people become casualties. Do you reward yourself and your hard work week by staying home from God? Think about it. Do you reward your hard work of week of work by staying home from church because you deserve to be away from God? Pretty poor thinking. Analyze that statement. Analyze it. Well, I've got to move on. Number six. I have discovered, and I think, people who are uninvolved are usually unfaithful. People who are uninvolved are unfaithful. 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." You see, those who are engaged are the faithful ones. Do you know what? If you're a nursery worker, you're probably pretty faithful to church. Why? You have a duty in the nursery. Bus workers are, they've got duty, so they're going to be around. Choir members are predictably faithful to church. But get this, here's what I've discovered. People don't want church duties because that means they have to be faithful, and they've already decided they're not going to be faithful. It's common. Don't give me anything to do, because if you give me something to do, I got to be faithful to do it. I've already decided I'm not gonna be faithful. And then they'll say, I'm such a person of character. I do want to show up to do anything that I'm given to do. So because I'm such a high character, don't give me anything to do. It's a cop-out.
Yes, sir.
You're hiding behind the truth. Truth is, you don't want to be committed to come to church. Their freedom is more important than obeying God about church attendance. They don't want to have to be here. People today are indecisive, and they want to stay that way. And by having no commitments or no duties, it gives them the freedom of convenience, and church cramps their style. God must have been an idiot to try to require this generation to be faithful, because they've just got too much to do. People are uninvolved and therefore are unfaithful. Number seven. Online religion has replaced the local New Testament church. Online religion. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. God says in the last days there's going to be people that are just not going to come to church. The word assembling there comes from the Greek word ekklesia. The word ekklesia means churching. The New Testament church is a called out assembly of people. That's what it is. And so God says here, we're to be faithful to church. Get this, Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Notice the word gathered. It didn't say stayed home and sat in front of the computer. I'm convinced there are people today that do not come to church because they think they can stay home and have church all by themselves. You know that Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10 says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse." Notice the word bring. You come, then bring your tithe. You might feel God didn't know what he was doing when he wrote that. I think God knew very well what this generation would be like. And those that stay home and think that staying home takes the place of the New Testament church, I guess God was stupid in creating the New Testament church, wasn't he? I disagree. And I realize there'll be a lot of people that will disagree with what I'm saying, but as you can tell this morning, that doesn't really matter to me. I think I'll defend God. I think I'll defend the New Testament church. I think I'll defend the fact that there is a reason why Christianity is on a decline in the United States of America, because we're phasing God out. We're phasing Him out. He's inconvenient. His church is inconvenient. It just frustrates our way of doing things. Well, I've got news for you. We're not to do it our way. We're to do it His way. God knew what He was doing. God knew what He was doing when He created the local New Testament church. Now, there are all sorts of preachers out there that are good men, and they live stream their services. I'm going to tell you why. There have been people in here say, "Preacher, why don't you live stream your services?" Why? So you can stay home and watch it? Now, I think there's somebody that stays home, that's sick, that's ill, that just can't come to church. Thank God for live streaming for them. But I'll guarantee you, there are all sorts of people that want to stay home in their jammies today and drink their coffee and not have to get out and inconvenience themselves to come to church. They stayed home to watch some live streaming, and they won't feel guilty about it for a moment. You say, "You're a different creature. You ain't seen nothing yet." Hey, check and see if that online preacher visits you in the hospital. Check and see if that online preacher marries your kids or buries your dead. So I'm a part of that invisible church. Yeah, the invisible church that has invisible members that probably gets your invisible tithes. Let me go on, number 8. I think people don't come to church today because people think family is more important than church and God. Matthew 22:37 said, Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." Oh, I think the family is important. I don't think family is more important than God. I think God created family. Someone says, "Well, I don't come to church because I use that as family time." What? I would think that church is family time. Amen. But did you know something? You can do both.
Right. Yes.
You can do both. You know what you could do? You could shut your television off on Saturday night and spend time with your kids and come to church on Sunday morning. But we're not going to sacrifice that. You've heard it said, the family that plays together stays together. I'd like to change that. It's the family that prays together that stays together. I am very much for family time. Very much. You can ask my wife. Matter of fact, those of you that would be a little negative with me about what I'm about to say, you can ask my wife and you can ask my children. We had family devotions every day of our life when our children were growing up. We opened the Bible with our children and prayed with them and read them. I'm talking about dad and mom at the table, kids sitting down with their Bible. We had a family night every week of our life, but we showed up for church. It's really quiet in here. I thought it would not be like that in this morning's service. Number 9, people's logic concerning doing good is very slanted today. People's logic concerning doing good is very slanted today. 1 Samuel 15:22, and Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" You see, people's concept of doing good, they got it out of sync with God. They feel like because they're not out robbing a bank on Sunday morning, then it's okay to miss church. You see, the thinking is, I'm not out doing something wicked, so if I don't go to church, it's okay. I'm sorry. There are not only sins that you commit. There are things that you omit that are wrong. You know, I think doing good deeds are good. But I'd be careful doing good deeds on Sunday morning when you ought to be in church. You know, you go mow a little old lady's yard at 10 a.m. Sunday morning and you think that constitute an exchange for coming to Sunday school. Do your good deeds so it does not hinder you from being in church. You know what's sad? There ought not be any preacher have to say something like this. Shouldn't be that way. Let me go on. Number 10. I'm going to just touch this and run because I don't have time. I think we have a reduction of church attendance. Some, I think, because of custody issues with blended families in this day and age. Acts 13:31 says, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. There's the home. I feel bad. We have young people that ride our buses into church. Who would be faithful? But they can only come every other week. And I will not go into that in a lot of detail. Those of you that are adults are old enough to understand it. I just feel terrible for those kids. We have kids that get to come every other week, and we lose some entirely over a summer. And so many times a child goes to another parent over the summer, and then we never see them again because they get away from the Lord. I think it's hurt. I think it's hurt churches. I think it's hurt church attendance. Let me move on. Number 11. I think people are more successful today, and successful people feel they don't need church. Luke chapter 18, verse number 25, it says, "For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." You see, successful or wealthy people get this idea that they really don't need anybody. They don't need God. They don't need church. Sometimes you go to someone that's got a lot of money and you try to get them born again, they kind of think they're going to just handle this all themselves. They're successful. They know what they're doing. It's talking about a camel going through the eye of a needle. And it's hard for a rich man to get saved because he's self-sufficient. I've got character. I can do it myself. Nobody can save themselves. Nobody can. But in this day and age, hey, we've got a lot of the economic success out there. The American economy is strong right now, and people have a lot of success. And they, if you're not careful, you'll develop the attitude you don't need God. Let me tell you something. God could push the reset button in your life real easily. If you got so much money going on right now, and you're bringing down the big bucks, and you're popping it away, and you're getting everything that you ever dreamed of, and you just don't have time for church because you're so, and you got to go get all that money that's coming in. God can fix it so you need Him again if you want. I really do believe that the middle class has shrunk and the upper class has grown, and the upper class don't need God. We have an economic strength in America. Right now, the truth of the matter is most anybody that wants a job has one. They can't give them away. So there's unlimited earning opportunity, and extra money has taken churches' place as a priority. They won't admit it, but many Christians want money more than they want church. And I'll work you back in, God, if things get tough again. I've got two more points and I'll be done. Promise. Cross my heart. Hope Brother Edward dies. Number 12. And listen very carefully to this point. And a couple of you really do need to take a great big deep breath of air because you're going to pass out. You're so tense right now. Number 12, a cultural transformation has left church out in America. Our culture has been so transformed to almost a new age, weak need type of a philosophy that church isn't important anymore. And 1 John 2:15 says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Now that word "world" there is a Greek word, cosmos. It's talking about the world's makeup or the world's culture. We're not to love the world's culture so much that we don't love God. See, our new online culture does not need the local New Testament church. We don't have to leave home because we can shop through Amazon. And so since we can shop through Amazon and we don't have to leave home, why should we inconvenience ourselves and leave home to go to church? And that's virtually the attitude that's being developed in America. Today's culture, and part of the culture, we have Facebook, we have Twitter. People, they want to be expressive. They want to say their piece. They want to give their opinion. So in today's culture, most people, they want to talk, not listen. But when you come to church, you got to listen, not talk. And they're not for it. They want to give their opinion. They want to say their piece. They want to tell you what they believe. They don't like it when a guy like me stands up and says, you be quiet and listen because I'm going to preach the word of God to you. So what? What? That's a culture.
Yes, sir.
That's where we live. They want group discussion, not preaching. They want to share their opinion, not be told God's word. This cultural revolution, everything's convenient, everything's easy. We want to talk, we don't want to listen. I tell you, you know what this generation needs to do? They need to listen to what the last generation did to make this country great. But we want to tell them what to do. We want to tell them how to fix our country. We want to tell them what they did wrong. This country was in better shape in the last generation than it is in this one. Hey, listen, in this cultural transformation, loyalty has become a thing of the past. We don't want to be loyal to our country. You know, people are almost ashamed. We're trying to be shamed into loving that flag. We're trying to be shamed for loving that flag, excuse me. They want to shame us. You a Christian? Shame on you. You have some sort of a strong spiritual conviction? Shame on you. We're not loyal to our country. We're not loyal to our workplaces. And really, I don't get it. You know, it used to be if you worked someplace, you were loyal to the place. You were glad you worked there. That's the place I work. That's my boss. I park my car down there at that place. Hey, and I'm not trying to pump anything or anybody. Used to be if you worked for GM, you loved GM. You worked for Ford, you loved Ford. But nobody loves anything anymore. And nobody's loyal to anything anymore. We're not loyal to our mates. We're not loyal to our country. We're not loyal to our workplace. We're not loyal to our principals. And we're dead not sure loyal to our churches. Why would I dare be loyal? Get this. In this culture, today we Google how to fix our washing machine so we don't need the repairman to come. Okay. So the millennials think they can Google the answer to their spiritual problems, and this replaces the need of a pastor, a counselor, a church, or preaching. I'll get myself cleaned up without church. I'll get myself, that's what I mean, right? We got the washing machine fixed by Googling, and you've seen the YouTube video. And if that's adequate to get your clothes clean, then that must be adequate to get your soul clean. Let me tell you something. This country is going to pot because everybody stays home and they don't go to church. And you want to know what the problem is? It's not in the White House. It's, hey, and in many places, it's the church house. But if it's not in the church house, it's in our homes where we just don't want to go to church anymore. You say, Pastor, I thought this was a fall program and we were trying to get church attendance up. You keep preaching like this. This isn't going to help us. Well, it's the truth. It's the truth. You can't fix everything that's broken with you because you Googled it. I will guarantee you there are people under the sound of my voice that if there were an issue in life that needed to be fixed and you Googled it, you would believe Google over your pastor and you would believe Google over the Bible. Because you read it, you Googled it. Wikipedia said so. Well, I happen to believe the Bible is where we get our answers. This generation, you don't want to have to go to the grocery store to do your own shopping. Hey, so you can email your order in and they will actually bring it out to you. They'll go pick up your bread and, okay, there's nothing sinful about that. Nothing wrong about that. By the way, Googling how to fix your washing machine, nothing wrong with that. What I'm telling you is we have developed an attitude and a philosophy. You cannot take the place of the New Testament church. It may be inconvenient to come. Hey, so you can give them your order and they'll grab your bread and your eggs and they'll come out curbside and they will give you your food. There's one problem. You won't get your spiritual bread that way. And you say, well, I can order what I want and they'll get it to me. You don't get to order what you want here. I'll cook up the food and slop it out there. You eat it. You eat it. You know, today, in this culture, today, being politically correct is imperative. And if you're biblically correct, you're ignorant. Because the culture has left the Bible and left the New Testament church. I have one more point and I'm finished, I promise. The spiritual element called faith is anemic today. It's anemic. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." You see, today people don't, there's not much faith left. We're spiritually weak. People do not trust authority. They don't have faith in anything. Political leaders have turned our government leadership into a mockery of lies and deception. And we don't trust people. We're skeptical of everything, even wholesome things. We're skeptical. We don't have faith in organizations, and we think the church is an organization. We don't have faith in the man of God because we don't trust any leaders. So we don't feel any obligation to come to church. The only thing you can think to trust in is you. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." But there's no church out there, there's no pastor out there, there's no ministry out there that is worthy of your faithfulness. I'm trying to figure out why God didn't call you to start one. Since you got it all, you're just above it. You don't need it, and you're not going to be made to feel guilty about it. And then I seen what David said. "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." No guilt. Church is just supplemental. We love less, so we don't love our church. We're soft because we'll let anything get in our road. We worship our time off. We stay uninvolved so we can be uncommitted. I'll just go online. We put things before God. I just got to wondering. I wonder why. 40 plus years after I got called to preach, why is our country in a national church attendance decline? I probably haven't named all the reasons why. Somehow I think I stumbled onto at least a couple of them. It's probably true. And before you get mad at me, take a good long look at the truth of what's happening and how it used to be and how it is today. And our goal is that you are not a part of the problem, but you're a part of the solution.